We announced a few services ago that we're going to be talking to you this morning. Our lesson is going to be on women preachers. And to some people, it's a very, very touchy subject. But those of you who have read your Bible, it shouldn't be a subject that is questionable. So we're going to read first of all out of Acts chapter, that's wrong verse. We want to go to Acts chapter 21, and we're going to read a few verses here, and then we'll go from there. We got Ricky ready to read some verses, and you can keep your Bible handy right there and see what the Lord has to say to us this morning. In chapter 21 of Acts. Now we'll start at verse 5, and verse 8 and 9 is where we want to go to, but we'll start at verse 5. And read down several verses here. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship. And they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the Evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he had come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. What we want to look at this morning is verses 8 and 9. If you'll go back there and let's read that again before you sit down. The next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the Evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. You may be seated. There are several things we want to look at concerning this subject matter. Several verses of scripture, as a matter of fact, some other thoughts as well. I believe if you will took time to go look up the word prophecy, you'd be surprised at what you might find there. Before we do that, I want us to notice one thing. They entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven. What seven? Does anybody here remember what seven? If you read the foregoing part of the book of Acts, you're going to find out that Philip was one of the seven men that the apostles said, look out, seven men that are full of faith, power, and the Holy Ghost. That they would take care of some responsibilities and obligations that we may give ourselves to prayer and minister of the word. Now, we, and this is just in passing, do whatever you want to with it. We commonly, most people think of those seven men as deacons. The Bible never called them deacons. They were just seven men that was full of faith, power, and the Holy Ghost. And the closest thing that we get to defining their position is, matter of fact, here in the 21st chapter where the Bible called Philip the evangelist. So I just give that to you in passing, food for thought. You can do what you want to with it. I figure you're going to anyhow. But when we talk about the word prophecy or prophesy, I think that we need to understand the complete meaning of the word prophecy. The Bible tells us in this chapter that we read to you that Philip had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. I think it's very important that we understand the meaning of the word prophecy or prophesy. The Hebrew, naba, not only signifies to foretelling events, but also it has to do with prayer, making supplication, and then nabai, which is a different spelling. Naba is N-A-B-A in the Hebrew. Nabai, N-A-B-I, the prophet, was not by office a declarer of future events, but primarily he was a preacher of righteousness. Now, if you have taken time to study much, especially in the Old Testament, and we'll deal some in the New as well, if you take time to study the Old Testament, all those that we consider prophets that prophesied were not always, matter of fact, it's very seldom that they were telling future events. They were reprimanding Israel or the king for their sins, for their backslidings, for their forsaking the Lord, and they were giving instructions to the children of Israel concerning the things of God. And because a prophet, primarily as a preacher, you need to recognize that they are a prophet is not only a prophet in the sense of foretelling future events, but he is, his first office is a preacher of righteousness. Read the Old Testament about all the prophets. They were preachers of righteousness. And I think that's the key to the interpretation of many prophecies. He was not only a foreteller, but one writer put it like this, a forth teller. That means he was punctual about confronting people about their sins and encouraging them. A speaker, one writer put it like this, a speaker for God to rebuke, instruct, and correct. One speaking to men for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen. Those that prophesied or were prophets had an insight or a foresight of things that or trends that were happening or took place. So they were not just foretelling future events. They were preachers of righteousness. Amen. Do you believe that's amen? Praise God. And matter of fact, if you were to go to Matthew chapter 3, and you can turn over there if you want to and read it for yourself. In those days, verse 1, In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying what? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In that verse 2, he made two different statements. Number one, you need to repent, a preacher of righteousness. Number two, the kingdom of God is coming. So he was telling a future event that was about to take place, but also he was reprimanding and preaching righteousness to these people that they needed to repent. Amen. Preaching is a part of prophecy. We're going to read here in 1 Corinthians 14 here in just a minute. But John, the Bible tells us that John was the greatest of prophets. If you read Matthew chapter 11 and verses 9 through 11, amen, he was a prophet in the sense of this respect, but he was a preacher of what? Righteousness. Righteousness. Anybody here understand what righteousness is? Righteousness is very simple to understand. Amen. Just doing what is right. That's all righteousness is. Amen. Doing what is right. And we have a generation in America that has totally lost the concept of doing what is right. Amen. God help us in America. Praise the Lord. So in the Gospels, amen, we read of several women messengers who proclaim good news. And we're not going to take time to read some of these, but I'll just give them to you. You can write them down if you want to. Amen. In Matthew chapter 28 and the first 10 verses in that chapter, and Luke chapter 24 verses 9 through 11, and John chapter 4 verse 28, 29, and 30, and chapter 20 of John verses 16, 17, and 18. So there were a lot of women, amen, messengers who proclaimed the gospel. Now, anybody know what the meaning of the word gospel is? Just good news. Exactly right. So they were carriers of the gospel. They were carriers of good news. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, amen, especially if you was to read verse 14 and 15, Ricky's going to pick up on verse 16 here in a minute. But God predicted and promised that he himself would pour out his spirit upon who? All flesh, upon women, and they would prophesy. To prophesy means to speak to men, to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. Amen. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. Prophesying is for the church and the general public as well. It is a preaching of the truth and the gospel and good news and righteousness. Praise God. All right. It's clear that Philip's four daughters were prophetesses. If you can get that, all those tenses there, prophetesses. That is that they were like their father in the sense that they were evangelists like their father. In a perfect accord of Joel chapter 2 verses 28 and 29. And that was fulfilled in the early church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 16, and along with verses 17 and 18, just read all that together, Ricky, and it's will be fulfilled here in these last days.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Not only on his sons and daughters, but on his servants. He makes a distinction. Slaves, amen. God will pour out the Holy Ghost, amen, upon any who believe and follow the principles of God's eternal word and righteousness. In Romans chapter 16, you can turn over if you want to. You don't have to, because we're not going to read all of that. But in Romans chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2, Paul the Apostle talks to us about Phoebe. Amen. A number of women servants of the Lord in the various churches. In verses 3 and 5, we have Priscilla, Mary, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, and Julia. Verses 6 through 15 are mentioned as laborers in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2, Euodias and Syntyche are mentioned as being leaders of the church at Philippi. And Ricky can turn over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 4 and 5. There was women, Corinthian women, prophesied and prayed in the church. I don't think anybody would deny anybody, woman, man, boy, or girl, to pray. If they can pray, then the Spirit of the Lord can move upon them and they can prophesy. Amen. Read, Ricky.
Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven.
All right. So, amen. There were certain Corinthian women that Paul is talking about here that did prophesy. Amen. Talked about men prophesying, but it talked about women prophesying. That means that they were talking about the gospel, the good news, righteousness. They were preachers of righteousness, whether evangelists or helpers in the church. And in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35, amen, that is used to condemn women. Preachers does not refer to preaching at all. Has no mention about prophesying or preaching or praying or talking or encouraging or edifying. Amen. But it's talking about a disturbance in the church service. Did y'all know that God is not the author of confusion?
Right.
Hello.
Right.
Amen. And we have that sometimes, even yet in American church. People just blurt out, go to talking whilst the preacher's trying to preach or song service going on, or just blurt out. Amen. Paul is instructing them, that's not the way it's done.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Everything is to be done decently and in order. Amen. And there ought not be any disturbance in the church service. And he's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. Amen. About these women that caused a disturbance in the church, asking or talking out to their husbands in the church. Amen. And in here in this chapter, he is talking to them. Hey, amen, that ought to stop. Y'all stay with me. And to me, it wouldn't matter whether you're a woman or a man. If you're talking out in the middle of service while church is going on, hush!
Right.
Oh, something right. Right there. Praise God. Amen. Read what Paul tells us about this. You have to remember some other things concerning the culture of that day. In their synagogues, the men sat on the main floor of the synagogue, and women sat in the balconies around. And sometime if a woman did not understand what the speaker had just said or commented on, she'd holler out and say, "Hey, John, what's he talking about?" And Paul said, "That is out of order."
Right.
And it really, I'm going to lose some of y'all again. It really wouldn't matter whether it was a man or a woman that's causing disturbance in the church service. Amen. It's still out of order. We are in church for one reason and one purpose, and that is to worship God. To worship. That Jesus said the time has come and now is when they that worship the Father must what? Worship in spirit and in truth. And any time anything happens in a church services, amen, that distracts people's minds from what God is wanting to speak to us about or talk to us, amen. Are y'all still with me? I've seen people while the Holy Ghost was moving in a church service and tongues and interpretations or prophecy or the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I've seen people just, amen, get up and talk, amen, and mill around and go out of the house of God and to get a drink of water to the restroom. Hey, y'all stay with me here this morning. I want to tell you, when the Spirit of God is moving and touching hearts in a church service, it is time for us to be reverent, amen, and listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying to the church. And anything that distracts, amen, is out of order. Hallelujah, anyhow. Praise God. So that's what Paul the Apostle was addressing in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. He was discussing, amen, that this ought not to exist in the church. Amen. Talking out, distracting. Amen. Ought not to be in the house of the Lord during church services. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're not going to take time to go over and read that. I want Ricky to read 1 Corinthians 14 here in a minute. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, Paul is not condemning women preachers as long as they keep their place and do not usurp authority over the man. The man is the head of the woman. Hello? The head of the home. But Christ is the head of the man. Read what Paul said in Corinthians chapter 11 there. Amen. So he is not condemning them for preaching as long as they keep their place and do not try to override or be overbearing or forceful whenever they were not supposed to be. Somebody said, well, amen, a woman preacher is usurping authority over the man. Not if the leader, the man, gives her the authority and the right to voice her ministry in the church. She is under the authority, are y'all still with me, of the pastor in that church. He said, preach. So she preaches. She is obeying those that have the rule over her. Is anybody here? You know, when I go visiting other churches, I went yesterday morning to the fellowship meeting over at Brother Keith May's. And I'm going to lose some of y'all here. But when I am in another man's church, though I'm a preacher and a pastor in my own right, Y'all listening? When I am in that man's church, I am under his authority. Hello? That's right. And yesterday they asked, and I'm not good at this, but he asked me to come lead songs. I've never, in all of the years I've been around here, I have never been asked to lead a song in a fellowship meeting. I've been asked to sing a special, but never to lead song service. But I was under his authority. So what do? I'd get up and lead songs. Because there is a chain of command, and that's the best way I can put it, in the church work as well as there is in any other part of life. Amen. So if a woman preacher has been asked or invited to come preach in this pulpit, she is not usurping authority over me as the pastor because I have invited her to come.
You get that?
It's hard for some folks to digest, but both men and women at Corinth were permitted to pray and to prophesy. Amen. But they were regulated by certain, I hate to say it like this, but I don't know any other way to say it. They were regulated by certain fixed laws or regulations or rules that is laid out by the Apostle Paul. Somebody said, well, what I've got to say is just as important as what the Apostle Paul said. Hogwash. Amen. I lost some of y'all there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 24 through 32. I want you to, amen, if you want to turn over and read that with Ricky as he reads it, chapter 14.
But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying.
Now that's the secret right there. Read that again.
Let all things be done unto edifying.
Let all things be done unto what?
Edifying.
Edifying. That's the secret of the church. Amen. And all things be done unto edifying. And it wouldn't matter whether you're a man or a woman or a child. Amen. We are to be edified in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and at the same time edify the church as well. Amen. All right.
If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets.
Amen. Well, I just thought that might be interesting to some folks. Men and women in this chapter were permitted to prophesy. And there were certain rules and regulations. Somebody said, well, I just do whatever I feel like doing. Go ahead. You can do that. But you'll be out of order. Among people who have inspirational experiences of prophecy and tongues and interpretations of tongues is it's very easy for one to claim that the Holy Spirit is moving upon him, that he should not quench the Spirit. Well, what do you do with verse 32, and the spirit of prophets are subject to the prophets? You see, that attitude of being determined to obey the Spirit leads to abuse of such gifts many times, causing much confusion in the church. God is not the author of confusion. Let nobody, and I say this morning very passionately as well as lovingly as I can, let nobody claim to be moved by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit who acts disorderly and causes confusion. For God, verse 33 in this chapter, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So, I've said all that to come back to the thought, amen, that if my wife is a preacher, y'all know that. That's no secret. Everybody knows that. And once in a while, not very often, she feels like she has something from the Lord to say. I said, say it. But now listen to me. She could have the attitude of, bless God. God gave it to me and I'm going to say what I want to say. But she never does that. Hello. She always asks the pastor first. Because she is under, not only because the pastor is the pastor, but because the pastor is her husband as well. And she, my wife has been one that has never, ever taken a liberty that was not granted to her. I've got some friends, preacher friends, that do not believe in women preachers. And that's all right. That's them. I'm not going to fall out with them just because they're wrong. I don't know. You know. But I've had several of them, as a matter of fact, have told me and my wife both, they said, if we ever do get to the point where we believe in women preachers, said, you'll be the first one we call on. Because she has kept her place and she has gained respect. Hello. Does anybody here say amen? Hallelujah. Some years ago, I'm just going to tell you this. I ain't going to tell you who it is. I ain't going to call no names because everybody here would know. But several years ago, there was a dear preacher friend of ours who doesn't believe in women preachers. And they have a convention every year. And something happened that the preacher that they had scheduled to come couldn't come. And I'm not going to tell you who that was or what happened either. And it was kind of a last moment deal. And we were sitting at a table and we were talking with him and my wife. My wife never pulls a joke on anybody. You know, she just, I do that for her and me both. But she just, you know, she's just not that kind. And we were talking about this dear preacher friend's meeting and who he was going to get. And my wife speaks up and says, I know who you could get to preach your meeting and probably have the biggest crowd you have ever had in all of your pastoral. He said, who? She said, me. Preacher stunned there for a minute. And he bursted out laughing. And he said, you're right. I'd be the biggest crowds I ever had. just to come see. But they're still good friends of ours. But I want to tell you, God has order to everything in the church. Nothing is done by happenstance. Even speaking in tongues, gift of tongues, interpretation, prophecy, a song. Are y'all still with me? When you read the writings of Paul, especially to this Corinthian church, the Corinthian church was probably noted for their worldliness more than any other church. And at the same time, they were noted for their gifts of the Spirit manifestation. And Paul dealt with both issues in that Corinthian church. And he is telling them, hey, just because you have a song, or you have an exhortation, or you have a prophecy, or you have a message in tongues, does not mean you just blurt out. Amen. Let everything be done in decency and in order. Amen. And he said, where there are messages in tongues, let it be by two or three, of course. And if there is no interpreter or no interpretation to the messages that has been given, from then on, let that message, the person that gave that message in tongues, be quiet and speak to God. Amen. In the Spirit. But don't cause an uproar and a disturbance in the church. And it wouldn't matter whether you were a man or a woman. Amen. Let it be done in the right perspective that Paul addressed it to be so. He was not in any way discouraging women from ministering. Amen. Women prayed in the church. They prophesied in the church. Because why else would he have said, let the women be covered when they pray or prophesy? Because they do and did prophesy. They did minister. They did exhort. They did encourage. They did speak the words of new good news and the gospel. So he is saying to them, let it be done rightly and in order. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody here say amen? So the Apostle Paul spoke to them, and it was to be regulated and done in accordance to regulations and orders and laws that God put out through the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul compares the church to a human body and mentions the nine gifts of the Spirit, including the gift of prophecy, and for all members of the body of Christ, prophecy is available. It wouldn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. It's in the body of Christ. Prophesying, the nine gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And that includes healing, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Amen. It includes speaking in tongues, messages in tongues. All nine gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Are manifested in the church by each member of the church as the Spirit of God moves upon them. And it did not matter whether it was a man or a woman that was moved on by the Spirit. It's in the body of Christ. Now, amen, this might come as a shock to you. There were more incidences in the Old Testament, amen, where God had women prophetesses than in the New Testament. Amen. And we're not going to take time to read them all this morning. But in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20, amen, Miriam, Moses' sister, Miriam was called a prophetess.
And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances.
In Judges chapter 4 and verse 4, and Deborah was called a prophetess.
And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time.
She what?
She judged Israel at that time.
She was a prophetess. She prophesied. She told how people ought to do of righteousness and godliness. And at the same time, she was judge. That means she had control over everybody. Men and women. Because God put her in that position. In 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14.
So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Azariah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harass, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her.
Amen. So there are many, and there are probably a half a dozen or a dozen more verses of Scripture in the Old Testament that we could refer to you to this morning, but we don't have time. But there were many prophetesses in the Old Testament that told people how they ought to do and to live. Amen. They were speakers of God. They were moved on by the Holy Spirit, amen, of God. Now let's bring this to a conclusion here this morning. Amen. If God used a rod, which he did in Exodus chapter 4, and he used a donkey in Numbers chapter 22, and he used a ram's horn in Joshua chapter 6. Amen. And he used an ox goad and a nail and a barley cake and pitchers and jawbone and a millstone in Judges chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 7 and chapter 20. Amen. Praise God. In chapter 15, if God used all those things, and God used a mantle in 2 Kings 2, used ditches in 2 Kings 3, he used an empty vessel in 2 Kings 4, he used a cruse of oil and ravens in 1 Kings chapter 17, he used a worm and a wind and fish and a gourd in Jonah chapter 1, and chapter 17, he used a cock, rooster, amen, to confound the mighty. And he used all these things, amen. And is it not possible then that God could use a woman? Hello. So, Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven of the early part of the book of Acts, had four daughters which did prophesy. And you must remember, the prophesying is not just foretelling the future. Amen. Not just a declarer of future events, but primarily a preacher of righteousness. And all the prophets and prophetesses, Old and New Testament, preached righteousness. John the Baptist, considered a prophet, preached righteousness. Anna, in the book of Luke, she was a prophetess. What the Bible said. What did she do? She didn't just foretell future events, but she told people how they ought to live and do right. A preacher of righteousness. Well, there you have that little tidbit this morning. and do with it what you want to, but that's what the Bible says about women preachers. And these that I give you this morning is not all that is said about it. There are many, many verses of Scripture that relate to women being women of God, as well as having men of God. There were women of God, and we in our time, and y'all have been blessed by having Sister Lester here many times. She has preached in this pulpit and preached and blessed the saints. Amen. Sister Nancy Marler has been here. There are others that have come. Amen. Sister Tobman, who is a missionary to Taiwan, has been here. And God uses anybody who will yield themselves totally to Him. And if God can use all those other instruments, He can sure use a woman in His plan of salvation. Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. Everybody's full. We're glad you're here this morning. This little lesson, amen, might be a help. I know there's some people even may come to church here that don't believe in women preachers. Well, I pray for their silliness. Praise God. But God's word is still right. Amen. And most of the time it's because they do not understand what the Bible says. They are only going on what somebody else has told them. Amen. Let's come pray. Amen. God help us.